Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with a rejection.
Welcome to the Chase Down on Almighty Baller Radio, part of Dash Radio. I'm Justin Rowe with my co-host Carter Rodriguez, breaking down the latest free agent summer news for the Cavs. And of course, the most important news right now is the fact that the Atlanta Hawks are agreeing to a three-team trade that might put Jamal Crawford on the free agent market, which is just absolutely terrifying because I want no part of him. Although I know Carter is probably the biggest Jamal Crawford fan on the planet, right?
It's Independence Day. I know that might not mean anything where you're from, but to me, this day means something. It's about freedom. It's about self-reflection. It's about pride.
Jamal Crawford represents freedom.
He represents so many negative things to me. There's never been a stronger lock that someone would sign with the Cavs. Like, I think he might replace Shump for me as my like least favorite member.
Well,
of the
here's
team.
The thing: I would actually, the miracle of this Cavs summer is I would feel better about a Jamal Crawford signing if it came at the expense of signing Jose Calderon. Like, I would rather have Jamal Crawford.
Hashtag, why not both? Because this is what's frustrated me so much about that Jose Calderon deal. Like, a lot of people were responding to me when I was criticizing it, saying, oh, well, you know, they don't have money anyway, and this is the guy they wanted, so, you know, what's the downside? This is the downside. This is a really weird free agent market where everyone's running out of money really fast because everyone blew their load in the last summer's spending frenzy. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of guys like George Hill, for example, who's going to get paid way below what the market thought he was going to get paid. Like, we know this to be true. And
there's also guys like Leandro Barbosa that have been bought out that would be a much better option.
Yeah. And I mean, Calderon hasn't been playable for 3 years, but more important than that, he was going to be there. Like, no one was pouncing on Jose Calderon a week from now. Like, and even if he wasn't, oh, well, you have to take an L there. You can't, like, you don't need him so much that you'll blow a roster spot in a role on someone who doesn't deserve it when there's going to be people that become available that do.
As you said, he's been unplayable for 3 years, and even 3 years ago, he would not be a great fit. Like, last year his shot left him, but even at the best of times, he's not athletic, he doesn't play defense, and it's just a weird, weird fit with this team, because he's a ball-dominant player, which isn't exactly what they need.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just, we should probably talk about the fact that Chauncey passed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A mortgage broker is still running our team.
Yeah. The guy who made sure you could get mortgages on your phone after an enormous housing crisis just 9 years ago.
I always find I make my best decisions on my phone.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, watch The Big Short, guys. It's a thrilling film. but you have Chauncey passing, and, you know, whatever. I feel like if you read the tea leaves, it kind of feels like there. It was reported that he didn't reach out to LeBron, but come on.
Yeah, there's no way that he didn't talk to LeBron.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we remind everyone, and I tweeted this last night, people lie all the time.
Like, men lie, women lie, buckets don't.
That's the only thing that doesn't lie. So he definitely reached out to LeBron. Yeah, my feeling is that he almost definitely was like, hey, LeBron, you going to stick around? And LeBron was like, I'm not going to give you any guarantee of that. And he was like, all right, see ya.
Right, which could mean absolutely nothing because LeBron is one of the weirdest guys out there, but LeBron, without a firm commitment.
I'm not sure LeBron would commit to anyone, you know, even if he was thinking about staying, because you lose a lot of leverage
especially
if you're LeBron.
especially with what Dan Gilbert's pulling this summer. Like, his entire approach has been, all right, Dan is impossible to deal with, so I'm going to keep my foot on his throat at all times. He's not going to give someone that Dan's looking to hire to work with him in the front office an assurance that he's going to stay, because, I mean, I know some are going to disagree with this, but this has been kind of a summer of cutting corners for Gilbert. And that's what LeBron's been looking to avoid all this time. So he's just not going to give him that commitment.
Yeah. So, I mean, so Billups passes, and now we're already starting to see the very transparent Kobe Altman hype machine coming from the Cavaliers.
I kind of had the feeling that even if they hired Billups, Altman was going to end up being the general manager.
Yeah, just
because
just
he had been doing
me.
It for so long.
And it made sense to me. He had been doing the job for a long time at this point, which means he was in charge of kind of organizational direction this summer, as much as there's been one.
Right.
But yeah, it just kind of starting to feel like Dan has a history of swinging for the fences, striking out, and then hitting a single with it, you know, like, just like, all right, well, you're already here, so go ahead. Calipari didn't want to do it, so you run the team now, Kobe. So it kind of feels like Kobe is in line for kind of an absurd promotion if you think about it. He was the assistant GM, and all of a sudden, is he going to be president of basketball ops? I don't know.
Well, my
a role sense that still needs to be filled. It's not just GM.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't have a president of basketball ops before, right?
Wasn't Redden the VP for basketball operations?
I'm not too... You might be right. I'm not too sure about that.
I think I'm right about that. I'm going to look it up while you talk.
My concern is that Dan Gilbert is filling that role. Like, he's just going to continue having a hands-on approach and is like, okay, I'm just going to hire this young guy to be general manager and I'm going to continue having my fingers in every facet of this operation.
Yeah, which, I mean, you can't rule it out.
I mean, on the surface, outside of the Calderon deal, things haven't been that bad this summer. Like, the proposed deal that was apparently approved by all three teams to send Kevin Love to Denver, Gary Harrison, a very protected pick, to Indiana, and then George to Cleveland, that was approved. And that's a deal that makes sense. And
that one will haunt you.
Yeah, that one's going to haunt you. But the Pacers didn't want to give George what he wanted, and the protected pick scared them off a little bit. So
it's kind of crazy how much, like, when you really get down to it, how much the NBA is like, you can make smart choices, you can make good offers, but, like, you just need the other team to play ball sometimes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and that was part of the importance of having David Griffin, was he did have a good working relationship with other teams.
I mean,
and that's something the Cavs are going to need to find again. They're going to need to regain some of that goodwill.
Yeah, and there's just not much you can do when Kevin Pritchard says that he'd rather have Victor Oladipo, albatross of a deal, and Arvidas Sabonis' son, you know? Like,
I like young Sabonis a little bit, but...
I don't.
Oladipo.
He's fine. Who cares? He's such a who cares player. He's like white rice to me. Like,
yeah, well, okay.
He was like the Keith Bogan, not like in terms of his ability, but in terms of his like impact. Like, I don't think he like mattered to the Thunder very much last year, even though he started a lot of games.
Yeah, I like him as a third big, I should have clarified.
Yeah.
Speaking of third big, why haven't we signed Tyler Zeller yet? I feel like he can play still, because he can kind of protect the rim, and he runs fast. Those are things I like.
Kobe Altman hates the Insane Clown Posse.
Well, now that's my biggest concern with the Cavs, is they don't respect the Insane Clown Posse.
Which is, of course, one of Justin's favorite rap groups / band / trash. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where else they go in free agency. Zach Randolph is a name that's been thrown around. And like,
I don't hate it.
I do. If the Cavs make me hate Zach Randolph, one of my favorite players, I'm going to be pissed off. Because I love Zach Randolph. I love post play. And I love all, you know, his turnaround, his kind of redemption.
Drawing fouls.
I just see a guy who doesn't score in the post that much anymore because he doesn't really have the skill set to do it that much anymore. He's just aged. He gets a lot of his buckets off mid-range jumpers. Doesn't draw fouls like he used to. Obviously is a limited defender that will look a lot worse when he's not playing next to Marc Gasol. And Mike Conley.
Are you saying Tristan Thompson is not Marc Gasol?
Not quite. I love Tristan, but he's just not a virtuoso on that end. Mike Conley is a really good point of attack defender. Tony Allen's a really good perimeter defender. Like, Zebo's job defensively is easy. And if I have one more person hop in my mentions to tell me that the Cavs needed more physicality and they lost that series because they weren't physical enough.
Not enough hashtag grit.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It drives me crazy. I was like, what? Was a hip check to Kevin Durant going to stop him for the Warriors from scoring 136 points a game?
If that was the case, Dante Jones would have just been put in.
Yeah. Like, it's so stupid and reductive. Like, people don't understand basketball. So they think that all you have to do is just like, hit a guy a little bit. It's like, no, like, the Cavs are a plenty physical team. Like, it's not about that. It's that they couldn't touch them because they were flying past them.
Yeah, we need more speed. So yeah, Jose Calderon and Zach Randolph.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's this summer's been really frustrating to me in that regard because it kind of betrays a fundamental lack of understanding of what they needed to do, which is find guys who can play against the Warriors. You know, they have to know that they can get to the finals no matter who their role players are. So go chase wings with this, you know, go find an athletic wing. Like, I understand it doesn't matter. It's a minimum contract for Calderon. If they give any of the mid-level for Zebo, I'm going to fall out of my chair.
Yeah, I don't want them to go into that for Zebo, but like, if he's available for the minimum,
yeah, I mean, I'll learn to love him. Don't get me wrong, but he's not going to be that helpful against the Warriors.
No. He'd be helpful during the regular season, and maybe he plays some spot minutes against the Warriors. But someone like PJ Tucker would have been great for the Cavs, but Tucker turned down $11 million from Toronto to take $8 million from Houston, so he was willing to take a bit of a pay cut, but was clearly out of our price range.
Yeah, that's the thing. Most wings are going to be out of our price range, especially since they have to dip into the mid-level to bring Chetty over, which I feel like we've lost. Like, there was a lot of buzz with that, and then just there wasn't.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned that might have been more noise than reality. But, I mean, David Pixel, the guy who reported it, is a really, really good and respectable reporter. So,
he's reliable.
But they're going to have to get deals.
The odds are the Cavs are waiting for the other pieces to kind of fall into place before they dip into that for Chetty.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I mean, there are good wings on the market that I think could play against the Warriors. I think Gerald Henderson's kind of a guy who could get minutes to kind of, especially if the Cavs do salary dump Shumpert. If they can get him for, you know, a decent part of the mid-level, I think that's pretty fair and reasonable. You know, it'll be really interesting to see how the market collapses as teams run out of money, because they are really running out of money. Like, it's getting really ugly. Like, I mean, George Hill is looking at a one-year deal.
That surprises me.
So, I mean, there are going to be guys that get signed for almost nothing. And, of course, your boy, Vince Carter, remains.
Okay, so I saw an interview with Vince on NBA TV this weekend.
You got so excited in your tone just then.
It's not great news for the Cavs. Because what he was saying is that at this point, the main priority for him is opportunity. He wants to play minutes. He feels like he can still play. He said ring chasing is something he doesn't want to sit at the end of someone's bench. He said when he's 43 or 44, that might be something he considers.
43 or 44.
I don't know how in jest that was. And I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, Richard Jefferson played about 20 minutes per game. Is that going to be enough for Vince?
I think he could get minutes on the Cavs. I think he would get more minutes than you're indicating he would.
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible.
Like, he has a very obvious important skill set that they need, and he's better than Iman Shumpert.
Well, the main takeaway of that is he's not going to sign with the Warriors.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. I don't know. Pro Hoops History, run by the great Curtis Harris, I believe is his name. Yeah, Curtis Harris. I suddenly lost confidence mid-sentence that that was his last name. Tweeted this out about Vince Carter after, and Vince was taking a meeting with the Kings. So someone's going to throw him too much money probably anyway. But he tweeted, Vince Carter was born January 26th, 1977. The Kansas City Kings beat the New Orleans Jazz that day.
Oh my goodness.
Vince Carter is old as shit.
Utah really should have given the Jazz name back to New Orleans. Like, Jazz is illegal in Utah.
I love the joke, but I don't think you should be allowed to steal from basketball without without getting proper credit.
That's fair.
Have you ever heard the story about basketball, about how there was like a huge dispute between Bob Costas and Al Michaels?
No, I have not heard
this. So apparently Bob Costas found out, or Al Michaels found out that Bob Costas had demanded like $3 million more dollars than him to do that movie. And it was like an actual like fucking dramatic fight between these two legends of the business about their compensation in basketball.
I want to see Jim Nantz call that fight.
Oh, yeah. It's a really funny story. You should look it up whenever you get a chance. So anyway, so I think that, so we've talked Calderon, we've talked Zebo, we've talked the trade rumors. Yeah, we haven't talked Korver yet. And I think that's, I think if we're looking, we've done a lot of complaining so far, and it's well-earned complaining, Cavs. But I think the Korver deal is a good thing. The Cavs signed Kyle Korver to a 3-year, $22 million contract with a partially guaranteed third year. And I think this is kind of a home run for the Cavs. I was scared this was going to be in the eight figures.
Yeah, like, absolutely. As I said earlier, the proposed trade that they have there for Paul George, I was happy with. The Korver deal, I think, is great. They gave the third year there to kind of lower the value per year. It's non-guaranteed as well. So I think it's a deal that both sides can be happy with. It's a good move. I think it's a little bit creative, which is nice to see as well. And it gives them an out. I think that's a very tradable contract if they need to.
It's fairly unlikely he plays that third year, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He's turning 37 in March.
I mean, he's not Vince playing till 50.
Yeah, and I think that... So this could look bad for the Cavs if he comes out in next season and looks completely washed up, which happens. That does happen to old guys. They just, you know, fall off a cliff out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But based on his performance last year, I don't think that really showed. He didn't have a great playoff, shot just 39% from three, down like 6%. Which was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well,
actually,
no, he
was down
shot
like 10% with the Cavs because he shot.
Yeah, he shot
48%.
Like 48.5% with the Cavs,
which is ridiculous. So he did drop off in the playoffs a little bit. Some of that's to be expected. Some of that was him missing wide open shots that he doesn't normally miss. So I think it was a good deal. I've seen some people like, that's a little too much for a 37-year-old, and it's like, sure. But with that partially guaranteed third year, and, I mean, you look at the deal Sean Livingston got in Golden State, and they probably have similar-sized roles.
Right.
Between
Korver and Livingston's a little more yeah, they're both limited players.
Yeah, they're both limited players with a very specific role. They're probably eighth men for their team. And, you know, I think that when you boil it down... they're about the same value to their teams. And Livingston got 3 years, $24 million, so just a little bit more per year than Korver got. Also a partial guaranteed third year. And that felt like a good deal for them. So I think that these aren't steals necessarily. but I do think it's a fair value for each team, which the Cavs have kind of been giving just because of the leverage that these players have. Most of the players are getting a win on their deals. Like, even if you like JR, he's getting probably more than he'd get on the open market. Same with Tristan.
Right.
And this was one of
although
the
that's
first
probably
deals,
not yeah. the case with Tristan anymore, but yeah, but I mean, at least at the time he signed.
At the time. So in comparison, I think the Cavs did a little bit better. And I think part of that's Korver just saying, I'm old. I don't want to go in a free agency. I want to try to win a title.
And plus, the Cavs had absolutely no way to get someone with the upside of Korver on the open market with
nothing
to dangle.
Yeah, so the Cavs were in kind of the same position they've been in, which is, you know, they don't have the ability to replace anyone, so they have to kind of pay to keep their guys, and that's just the way it is. Like, that's what it is to be over a tax team and well over the cap and with not a lot of exceptions to work with and not a lot of draft picks to work with, is you got to keep your guys. And I think in total, this was a really good deal. And we'll see especially if they bring Chetty Osman over, what kind of role Shumpert, Korver, and Jefferson play. Because I think Chetty's going to be worth minutes. And it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, for all we know, they might just still dump Shumpert in a salary dump.
Right, which would open up the minutes. And I think they are still going to try to move Shump if possible. Maybe a team like Minnesota wants him.
Yeah, I just feel like he's run his course here to some extent. Like, he has his utility, but he's been a problem. They've shopped him 1,000 times because of, you know, various reasons. And it's probably just time to move on. He's not horribly overpaid. Like, $9 million, $10 million a year isn't, like, devastating.
No, it's not.
But at the same time, with the tax where it's at, if they can get some assets or maybe even a trade exception out of it, I think that would actually be really good for the Cavaliers and very worthwhile. We'll see if they can maneuver it. I don't think they should just trade him for, like, non-guaranteed contracts.
No,
just to
not
get
at
off
all.
The money. I think that would be very disappointing if they did that. But if you can get an asset that's worthwhile back, then I think it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the ideal would be a first-round pick and a trade exception. And some of the talk was that the Cavs had other deals lined up if they were to acquire that. But we'll see exactly what the case is here. As I said, I haven't really had an issue with a lot of the stuff that the Cavs have done this summer, or the theoretical trades that they've been rumored in, or guys that they've chased. It's just the appearance of instability, and it's clearly there, but it's just so obvious that they're just a mess again. And even if they're able to salvage it and make good moves, it's still a concerning thing to see from the organization after they were finally showing some sort of stability.
Yeah, I mean, the day David Griffin walked, I said something along the lines of, like, you're never that far away from the team being the team that drafted Anthony Bennett first overall, like, 3 years ago. Like, you're always kind of on the edge of disaster with this organization, and they finally just kind of toppled over the edge with this GM situation. And, you know, maybe Kobe Altman proves to be, you know, worthwhile and a solid GM if he ends up getting the job. Kind of doesn't feel like they're going to go anywhere else. I don't think that you're going to give Altman a super strong benefit of the doubt right now.
No.
Because there was a better guy that had the job right before him. So no learning on the job. And that's not fair to Altman or whoever they hire. But also, Dan Gilbert shouldn't have let Dave Griffin walk. So I think whoever is going to get this job is going to be judged on a curve. And sorry, that sucks.
Yeah, but, that's life. That's the sports business.
So I think one thing we should talk about is that the news.
How whack Durant is?
Yeah, he's so whack, man. I hated his tweet.
Taking a pay cut is way, way, way lamer than joining a 73-win team.
I mean,
doing a favor for a billionaire who could easily just sign everybody and pay them what they're worth. That's lame.
You know, it's funny. I actually just hated his tweet during the Summer League game. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. Fill us in.
Fultz got some poop emoji with him. The Hezzy pull-up Jimbo was smooth. Probably don't understand what I just said if you don't really hoop. Why is God, Kevin Durant attacking just vague people that don't know basketball lingo? Like, what? Like, even in a complimentary tweet, he still is attacking some kind of detractor.
He's clearly a very insecure dude.
Oh, like, my favorite
is my favorite is still him shooting around in a room full of reporters, being like, this is where the work's done when nobody's watching. You guys are just all lucky that you're here to see it.
We out here. They said I was soft. I like to say his direct quotes from that piece as white as I can.
I like it.
I like how
Shams versus Woj has become like, it's what KD and Russ would be if they were equally good players and Russ was likable and got wins.
Well, what's funny is that, like, I didn't think Shams, like, hates Woj.
No, like, not at all. He's just doing his job.
Shams only exists because of Woj, but yeah. The internet's just making it into a war because we're stupid. But I'm sorry, I had one last thing to say about Durant, about that tweet. Could you imagine just, like, tweeting like insider lingo about your work and then being like, bet you guys don't know what that means. like if I'm like, oh, there was a jump cut in that shot and they should have used B-roll instead. Like, bet you guys don't even know what I'm talking about. No, screw off. It's the most annoying shit. Oh, man. And the pay cuts, I do want to say it's a little conflicted because you can't tell me that Cavs Twitter isn't being especially hard on this because he plays for the Warriors.
Well, also because the Warriors fans have done this whole pro-labor thing and, you won't take the best available job in your industry. Yes, I would, but I also wouldn't take a pay cut.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not good for the union. The union can't be happy with this, I mean, a $9 million pay cut for probably the second or third best player in the league. But, you know, I mean, I know that you want to just talk shit, but I got my shit talked out of the way with the tweet, so I'm going to be more serious here. Like, you know, whatever. Like, just do what you want. I'm a big believer in that for the most part. And, like, if he thinks that this will help keep the Warriors together, more power to him. That said, if Joe Lacob chooses not to pay Klay Thompson at the end of this...
Oh, Klay's definitely walking, which is going to make it so much funnier.
I mean, he will be... Joe Lacob is a total scumbag if he does that, because KD is clearly making these sacrifices to keep the team together. And if he's like, no, I just can't really afford it, like, that's pretty messed up.
Yeah, it's a 1+1, though, for Durant, right?
Yeah,
like,
so
he can opt out.
Technically, what he could do, because Klay isn't up till 2019, technically what he could do is, if he wanted to put the screws to Lacob and is confident that he's not, you know, banged up or anything, he could just do another 1+1 and then basically be like, you know, opt out, do another 1+1, and then go to Lacob and say, pay Klay or I walk.
Mm-hmm. Plus... Lacob has to know that Durant's just like a text away from joining another team.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. He is
easily influenced.
He is not a firm, strong anchor to stay where he is, or to, you know, he's like the kind of guy who, like, you make plans, but then his other buddies are like, hey man, come out, and he's like, all right. And
okay.
Then, yeah. Like, he's not firm. He's not strong. And that's what I said about a person I don't know and never will. one last thing before we're done here, I think we should. I wanted to talk about the Melo thing. So,
yes.
Melo reportedly will only waive his no trade clause for trades to Houston or Cleveland. And I think it's really interesting because both of these teams can make a really, really unpalatable offer to New York. Like, their worst offers they can make, but anything more than their worst offers on either side is probably too much.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cavaliers certainly could throw a package of Shumpert, Fry, Felder, RJ, which would get them the money. There's three
and ruin their podcast.
Yeah, I would be so sad. There would be three expirings, and then Shump, who has a player option that he might decline because he's a super confident dude for some reason, for $10 million in the second year. But that would functionally be a really cheap and easy salary dump for New York. That would get them off a fair amount of money, but also like looks pretty awful PR-wise. And then with Houston, they can offer Ryan Anderson's albatross of a contract, 3 years, $60 million, which, you know, New York shouldn't take on because it's a terrible contract. But they're, the only sweetener they should really ask for is Clint Capella, which suddenly is now way too much for Houston.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Where do you see this breaking? How do you think this plays out? Do you think a trade happens at all? Or do you think the Knicks just look at those two offers that they can't get and say, ah, this isn't worth it, and just play it out?
Man, it's tough to say. And here's where it would be nice if you had a GM that had a reputation and they had experience dealing with them, because I feel like David Griffin might be able to kind of grease the wheels there more so than Kobe Altman. And Daryl Morey is a fantastic GM, so I don't know if he's going to be able to swindle them or what the deal is. I completely agree with your assessment that if you add in anything of long-term value, it immediately becomes an overpay. So with that in mind, I don't really see what these teams can offer that's going to blow the Knicks' socks off. The importance is basically just going to be communication, staying in the loop, being aware of where the team's at, in trade talks with both teams, because you're bidding against one another. And you don't want to be caught in an age situation where, oh, I thought you were going to wait for us to figure out what's going on with Hayward, and then Paul George gets traded for peanuts.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, though, if Houston adds Capella to a deal, the Cavs just have to say good job, good effort, and get out, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because they can't give Tristan or Love.
No.
Or even JR, really. And the Knicks won't want JR anyway on his contract. Mm-hmm. So you just have to take an L there. I don't know. My feeling is Daryl Morey knows how important Clint Capella is to that offense and to their defense, even more importantly.
Mm-hmm.
They have no rim runners other than him. And really, like, Melo will play a Ryan Anderson-esque role. Because it's not like Ryan Anderson is just dead weight salary. He's actually still pretty good. So, like, I think they'd be worse if they did that deal. Like, as a basketball team. I don't think they'd be better in the aggregate if they traded Anderson and Capella for Melo. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that is fair.
So, I mean, it'll be an interesting staring match. I think it's really going to matter who the Knicks bring in as their new president and GM, because they are also a team without a front office right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, you know, if they, you know, go crazy and hire Danny Ainge, you know, maybe they dump his ass in Cleveland, or because I don't think they take on the long term salary. So it's going to be an interesting little dance. It feels like Melo is more. It's more possible that the Cavs end up with Melo at the end of this than it did, you know, just a week ago, I think.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to see if the Knicks want to commit to a salary dump, because if they do, I think he'll be a Cavalier.
Yeah, I agree. And we need to assemble as much of the banana boat as possible.
Hell yeah.
Without giving up Kyrie and Love for any banana boat members.
Because we're getting some strong hashtag he gone vibes right now, and I really want to just counter that with some good vibes and a ridiculous team full of LeBron's best friends.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And that should probably be it.
Yeah. Well, so we'll wrap things up there. Again, thanks to all our listeners. We're going to continue doing things throughout the summer, getting recordings up, trying to figure out what on earth the Cavs are doing. So hopefully they're going to get a little more positive.
Yeah, luckily, we'll never not have something to talk about because this team is so stupid.
I really do appreciate that about them. I truly, truly do. But right now, there's not a whole lot concrete to talk about. So hopefully we're talking about the banana boat in the very near future. But until then, appreciate all the listeners. Remember that you can leave reviews as well as subscribe on iTunes. So as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.